I'm Susan Harrison and you're listening to Back Row. On today's show, Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild review X-Men Days of Future Past, Lana and Betty choose their Desert Island Death Discs, and we bring you an exclusive news item. But first, I talk to the inimitable Barry from Watford about his new radio show, and I even managed to catch a glimpse of his wife, Margaret. Exciting. Thank you so much for letting me come round to your house. It's a really nice place you've got.
Yes, I've cleared up a little bit. My Margaret, you know, she cleared up a few bits and pieces there. I'm sorry about the feces on the carpet, you know.
Oh, that's all right. I'm sure it'll come off later.
Well, probably will. I'll get her to clean it up. When she done it, you know, she could probably clear that up herself, didn't
I? Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice to catch a glimpse of Margaret, actually.
Yes. Normally, the council don't let her show her face, you know, between the hours of 9 and 5 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you were lucky to see her. You know, she looks happy enough, do you think? It's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a brief flash.
You know, that's not a crime. Well, it is a crime in her case, yeah. Brief flash. But she looked happy. She was gurgling away, wasn't she?
She was.
I prodded her with that cudgel. But, you know... She's quite happy, quite happy.
How did you first meet Margaret?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I'll tell you how I met. She used to do a lot of dancing up at Watford Coliseum. You see, they used to do a lot of dancing in the early 50s. And she was a friend of a friend. Margaret Buddle, you see, was a name. She was ever so bad as a dancer, you see.
Oh.
We were dance partners. I mean, put it this way, how can I describe how bad she was? Do you remember Douglas Bader? He had 2 metal legs from the Second World War.
Yeah.
Well, if Douglas Bader had also no use of his arms and was in a sort of wooden straitjacket, it was a bit like that. But we used to dance, you know, we'd do all the dances, the foxtrot, you know, the Latin two-step tanipopo, you know, the monkey body. And she was, you know, terrible, but we did so like each other. Oh. And beauty's only skin deep.
Well, that's true.
It's a unique kind of look. She's not everyone's cup of tea,
yeah,
really.
It's good that you could see past that.
Well, yes, it's hard to see past her, but if you move round on some sort of winch system, you can just about. I'm only joking.
I think it's really heartwarming how you met Margaret because, yes, you know, nowadays people meet their future partners or lovers online or sometimes through... I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think of, say, Tinder, for example?
I don't know what that is. Is it a thing where perverts get together online? Is that what it is? It's Tinder and Grindr. Is it like Grindr, but... For heterosexuals?
Yeah, it is a bit like that, yeah. You can flick through people's faces.
Can you?
Yeah, and decide whether flick you like through. Them or not.
And what's it got? I mean, just out of interest, what's it called? Tinder?
Tinder.
What's the precise address?
Oh, I can write it down for you later. I'll
find a pen. Just for research purposes. Aren't they fairly attractive?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You can, if you don't find them attractive, you can just
say
flick
no.
On. Yeah.
Flick on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like that. I would like to flick on someone's face. sounds horrible, but are they mostly young people?
Yeah, it's quite a young thing, I think.
Yeah, quite. What's it, 70 plus sort of thing?
Even younger, perhaps.
Oh, lovely. Well, I'm no spring chicken. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, if Margaret were to die, wouldn't mind some sort of, you know, companionship.
Yeah,
And, you know, someone to chat to at night. You know, bring me some cocoa and someone to get sexy with. I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Elderly,
that's fair enough.
You know, pensioners' sex is, it's a grey area that we don't want to get into, really.
I mean, you seem very open, which is lovely.
Sorry about that. It's this belt on this dressing gown has come undone, yeah.
No, it's fine. I can look away while I talk to you. But...
Yeah, sorry. Let me just... I'll tuck that in.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's
open
your house.
Open about what?
Well, you seem very open to modern ideas. I mean, people have this perception of elderly people as being closed, but you seem the opposite.
No, I'm very open. I'm very open to new experiences. I'm very open to the internet. No, I don't see that you have to go on about the old days as if it was, you know, through some rose-coloured spectacles, you know. Mm-hmm. No, there's very much a lot of things I like about the modern age. What was that invention that happened? I was reading about the other day. The car.
Oh, yeah.
The car.
Have you ever driven yourself?
I have driven a car before, yeah, but that's an extraordinary thing. And, I mean, really, the cutting edge was, what was that? Teletext.
Yeah,
you
know,
tell you the weather and everything. So I like to keep my finger on the pulse. You probably noticed when my dressing gown came open.
I did.
Yes.
I mean, talking of keeping up to date with things, I noticed you have a new radio show yourself.
Yes, I do. Thank goodness you got round to that, dear.
Yeah.
I do a radio show on FUBARradio.com. Mm. FUBAR, FUBAR. Listeners might want to grab a pencil or some new wave device for writing things down, you know, pencil or a pen. FUBARradio.com, it's me and Angelos Epithemiou.
Oh.
So if you don't like me, you might like Angelos. It seems to be quite popular with young people.
Yeah.
So we do a show called The Barry and Angelos Show every Wednesday, repeated on a Sunday, and it's doing great guns.
Mm.
Great guns. So you go to, it's an app, I think, FUBAR, and you download it, and for a small fee, and there may even be an offer for the first couple of months, I don't know, I don't pretend to understand it, I don't listen to any other of the shows, just ours.
Yeah.
You can listen to us.
And who's been the best guest that you've had on, would you say?
Well, we've had Rob Brydon, we've had Cardinal Burns, and we had The Noise Next Door, we had The Midnight Beast, we had Arj from Towie, John McCrillick, who was the worst guest we've had, and Lembik Opik, who was the busiest guest we've had.
Busy mentally or physically?
He's got his finger in so many pies, we didn't know what to talk to him about. Luckily, he just kept talking for us. But, no, we've had a lot of lovely people in there, really. Belinda Stewart-Wilson from The Inbetweeners. We get a lot of people in, and it saves us doing any work because we just get them to talk.
Yeah.
And occasionally chip in with some inanities, you know.
That's great.
Mm, well, you say it's great. It's pretty poor, really, but occasionally it's funny, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's very impressive. Do you watch a lot of television? You mentioned The Inbetweeners there. Is that something...
Well, the other night, I tell you what, Mock the Week was on. I pissed myself. So I missed that, unfortunately, yeah. And, no, I mean, we like, I do watch a lot, so I like the science programmes, you know, Brian Cox. I love Cox. Love Cox. And what else do I like that's on the telly? I like anything with Linda Bellingham in it.
It's very specific.
Very specific. I like any sports programmes, you know, very much looking forward to the World Cup. I go down, I don't have Sky or really nothing like that. So I go down and watch the England matches at my local pub.
Very nice.
Yeah, to see that.
Do you have a lot of friends at your local pub?
Yeah, it's a bit right wing, my local pub at the Nick and Griffin in Watford. And go down. It's a party in there every night, British National Party, one of the back rooms. But we don't have Sky, but we have all the other. You know, three channels, you know. But, yeah.
What, Barry, I know that a lot of people look up to you. I mean, you're very good at kind of giving lifestyle advice.
Yes.
You're very wise.
What advice
would you give to young people today who are sort of trying to make it in the world, trying to get a job?
It is very, very difficult for young people with a wide variety of lifestyle choices. You know, it ain't easy. There's a lot of distraction and all the rest of it. So what I would say is, quite simply, get your hair cut, smarten yourself up, get yourself a trade and stop whinging.
Excellent, excellent advice.
Hard but fair.
Hard but fair. And what about, using the same approach, people who are maybe, you know, confused about religion, spirituality? Where do you stand on that?
Well, where I say spirituality,
yeah.
Religion.
Are you religious? Are you spiritual?
No. But if God is listening, yes.
You're hedging your bets.
I'm hedging my bets. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know whether I'll be around tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly here, I've got a game of dominoes down the Legion, but I mean, literally on planet Earth, you know.
Well, that's right, yeah.
So I've got to be nice to him now, try and repent for all the nonsense I've done over the years. And if you are listening, God, I didn't mean to say that my wife was hideous. I didn't mean to imply she's a big unit. She's very, very nice. She's got a... All right, she's not... Look, she's not the world's most beautiful woman. You know, she's not the street's most beautiful woman. She's not even the most beautiful woman in this house today. But she's lovely, she's all mine, and she does make a lovely cheesy leek bake. And if that's going to get me into the pearly gates, so be it.
Would you say that's the secret to a happy marriage?
Cheesy leek bake?
Yeah.
A good cook.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lovely cook, you know, my wife. And, you know, the thing is, it's about compromise when you live together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the main thing. You know, before you go to bed at night, if you've had a row as a man with your wife, you know, make up before you go to sleep. It don't matter what you make up, but make up something, for goodness sake, because I don't know what... But she's lovely. You have to rub along through all sorts of things. I mean, I've had the run saying chronic recently, and, you know, I keep getting caught short. I said to my Margaret, I'll give it 5 minutes before I go in there if I were you, which was fine, but I was coming out of the living room at the time, you know. So she, you don't have to laugh at that, but she's a lovely, it's all about getting on together. It's those funny little things that, you know, you like about each other. You may have seen one of them when my dressing gown came apart.
Did have that pleasure, yeah.
Yes.
Well, have you ever been led astray, though?
Absolutely not.
No.
It's very kind of you, my darling, but...
But in your younger days?
No, you know, I know what you're getting at, but it's not going to happen. You're very sweet, but I'm very happily married. You're a lovely lady, you're very charming, you smell nice, and you've even taken the trouble to come in here in a sequin boob tube. And that's lovely, and that's appreciated.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm not gonna stray.
Okay, fair enough.
Or maybe a little kiss.
Okay.
And a touch.
Okay.
Or a kiss and a touch... Over jumper, no more than that.
Over your jumper?
Yes, if you would.
Okay.
I'll go and find it in a minute. If I can find it.
Jumper over dressing gown or
jumper over dressing
gown? Over dressing gown.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm not a slut, not under dressing gown, no.
On top, okay.
I'm kidding. No, she's like, I've never strayed. I've had, you know, I mean, the wife's sister did try to French kiss me on Boxing Day 1975.
Oh, my God.
Around the serving hatch area.
That's obviously stayed with you, that memory.
Well, it has. I tried to... Basically, it was a hideous moment. I say it stayed with me. I'd be taken back by hypnotherapy to recall it properly. It was so alarming.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, she... I mean, if you think my Margaret has, you know, got a unique sort of look, this lady really did. And... No, she's lovely. Margaret says, I feel I've been a bit sexist for any Germaine Greer types out there. I'm only joking, she's lovely, my wife.
What do you think of modern feminism?
Well, look, there's nothing wrong with feminists. I've met a lot of very pretty ones over the years, you know. And I would say to Germaine Greer or Mary Beard or any of that, Janet Street Porter... Who's that other one who does the book club on Radio 4? Mariella Frostrop. Any of these strong women, I'd say, I absolutely support you ladies. Now, do us all a favour and stick the kettle on treacle and make us all a nice cup of tea.
And we'll be hearing more from Barry later on in the show. But next, our resident reviewers give us their take on X-Men Days of Future Past.
Hi there, it's Hayley Danks here with Ruth Goodchild.
Hello.
And we're back yet again. Today we're reviewing a film. It's quite a big sort of blockbuster affair.
Yeah, they call them that, don't they? They call them blockbusters. Summer blockbuster. It's X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, this isn't out yet in the UK. We were going to be sent a preview tape, but that didn't arrive, did it?
No.
On time.
Well, I mean, it did arrive,
but we didn't watch it.
No. I mean, well, so. I did sort of go as far as opening the packet.
Yeah.
So we had a good old look at it, didn't we?
Yeah, I read the synopsis. Yeah. That should be enough.
I think so, yeah. I mean, because to be honest, it's all about sort of first impressions.
Sure. You know. So this is a really sort of hot off the press review then, I suppose, we're doing.
Yeah, because like apparently, you know, the PR person was like, not many people have had the opportunity to view it so far ahead of time.
Sure.
So, you know, we're really lucky that we got that opportunity.
Yeah, we are. So
we can share that.
So what did you think of the packaging?
So I thought, I know, when I took off the cellophane, initially I was like, oh wow, it's like going back in time. Like, you know, because like nowadays, I mean, especially for me, maybe less so for you, but for me, it's all about digital. It's all about online. So to actually have something concrete.
A physical thing in my hands.
Tangible. Yeah. It's so weird. It's like.
Writing a letter.
Yeah.
Or getting on a train, like steam train or something. Yeah. Felt
exactly.
Just like that.
It was almost like, oh, hang on, what era are we in? Should I get some yogurt pots and put some string between them and like phone someone? Yeah. What did you think of the packaging?
I thought it was sturdy. I mean, it meant it arrived in the post without any scratches on it, so I guess it did its job, I suppose.
Hey, that's good. That's good. I mean, because mine I almost had to pick up from the sorting office and then didn't.
Right.
Because the lady downstairs luckily opened the door for the post. And I don't know if you had a similar sort of issue or drama.
Sure. No, my letterbox was big enough.
Right.
So, I found it on the mat. And one of the things I would have liked to see would have been some more interesting packaging. I had to, I don't know, solve a puzzle to get into it or something. But it was just tear it open, there it is. That's like every other letter. Yeah. So how is that interesting?
Ruth, you're so right. You're so right. Because actually, to be honest, like the overarching themes are sort of superheroes, supernatural. And so like for me to actually have to open it myself.
Physically with my hands.
Yeah, it was almost like quite pedestrian and also not in keeping with the theme. Like I would have preferred it if it had been propelled up on a large spring from the pavement below through my window.
I had to catch it.
Yeah.
You know, in like a sort of baseball mitt or something.
Yeah, sort of, oh gosh.
out of the blue. You're sitting there watching television or reviewing a book or something and then I've caught it.
Yes. Yeah. Or even, because am I not right in thinking, you know, that this, I mean, as you say, it's a blockbuster, you know, genre.
Yeah.
But also it's a sort of action genre. So
that's right.
As well as a sci-fi genre. So could it not have smashed through one's window and then...
Tied to a brick. Yes. What's this? And then the adventure begins.
Exactly.
Maybe I should have had to go and find it through a series of clues.
Yeah, that would have been really nice.
But as well, I just tear it open. Like, is this a bill or is it or is it a blockbuster movie? It could be either. Yeah. You know. So, not many marks for that.
No. And what did you think of the visuals, the imagery on the actual DVD and also the accompanying sort of, you know, poster?
Well, I'm assuming that the imagery used is something from the film, like the people from the film.
Oh, do you think so?
I think so. I mean, obviously I'd need to watch it to confirm that, but that's probably a good idea.
That is a really good point, Ruth.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the sort of blue-tinged fashion.
Yes. What's going on there? What's going on there?
I sort of liked it. Part of me was like, okay, that's quite sort of, you know, it's quite high fashion.
It's quite avant-garde. Mm. Quite sort of out there. Oh. I think,
I mean, I actually, you know, I'm a bit shy about this, but it turned out quite well, but I actually blued myself up.
Right.
After I saw that.
Right.
Because I was going out that night to a private view.
To try something that's really now.
Yeah.
Try a look that's really now.
Like, so current.
How did that go for you?
It went really well. I mean, so when I went to the private view, it was just off Brick Lane, and a few people sort of looked at me.
Yeah.
They gave me a couple of glances.
Sure.
When I was there among my peers, they were so impressed, and when I explained why, that I'd been inspired by a blockbuster movie.
Yeah. They applauded,
applauded.
Stood up on the spot.
Yeah.
Well done.
All three
You're
of them.
You're very current.
Yeah.
You're very, very current. And what's more important than that?
Nothing. thing.
Being now.
Yeah.
Fewer points for the packaging, but more points for the imagery.
Yeah, it's
thing.
Interesting. Yeah. It's inspiring.
Good.
But what did you think of the cast? Because we do have the cast list here. Say,
yes, let's pull this up here.
Build cast.
Hugh Jackman. Now, he was in Oklahoma, wasn't he, I believe, on Broadway. I saw that. He was good in that. Is this something similar?
Possibly. I mean, I presume if you've got those vocal cords, you know, it'd be silly to waste them.
It'd be ridiculous to waste them. Well, sorry, I'm a huge Broadway star and I'm not going to sing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if he's got his head screwed on, which I'm sure he has, that he just sung all his lines, whether he was asked to or not.
One would presume so. You know, I am... Hey, guys, I am huge vocal cords Jackman, so...
So, just, you know,
figure.
Hear me roar.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Who else is in it? Jennifer Lawrence. Mm. She's very in at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah, she's really in. She's
doing
really
well.
Sort of topical. She's really relevant.
Yeah.
She's really, you know...
What's she done?
I think she's done some similarly blockbuster-y
sort of
films.
So,
I mean,
she's good.
She's got lovely skin.
She's got beautiful skin in this picture. Sort of looking very sultry.
Yeah.
So that's probably
that's
a good
great.
Thing. For this sort of genre, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think also she looks really young, and I mean, you know, that's really good.
Halle Berry, who of course won her Academy Award for Catwoman.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Loved her performance as Catwoman. I just
incredible.
Thought, you know, it was so detailed, it's so multi-layered that when I saw it, I was like, well, there's no point in me watching another actress ever again in my life now.
No, this is a woman who's clearly done her animal study.
Yes.
She's obviously been to see Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
Yes.
She's looked at sort of street cats, alley cats, house cats.
She sat on her roof with a cat.
Exactly.
Being a cat,
lived the life of a cat. And she's bringing all of that knowledge to her Academy Award-winning role as Catwoman.
Amazing. Now, here we have Nicholas... I can't quite see the name. Is it Nicholas Holt? Is it the young boy?
I don't know. I think so.
It's quite interesting. I don't know. Like, if that young boy, that young British boy. Is that
who? Yes, that's him. That's him, I think. He's grown up.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Anyway,
I think he's grown
British,
up.
He's British. That's great. That's great.
British,
on.
Big tick from us.
Big tick.
Ellen Page. We like her. Kitty Pryde. She's playing. Or it could be Pryd. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, could well be. Ellen Page. Now, she is really current.
She's really current.
Am I right in thinking that she's actually come out?
She's come out, which is really trendy.
It's really... I mean, God, sometimes I just wish that I could do this. Like, I just wish that I was gay.
I know.
That I could come out.
I know.
But
I'm
actually,
not... It's so
it
embarrassing.
Really
I'm not even bisexual. It's so... I know. I'm not even bisexual. It's so sort of boring and traditional, isn't it?
Yes.
Boring.
Ruth, you know, you don't have to live like that. I mean, there are ways of sort of encouraging yourself to explore other avenues.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't like to think of you being trapped.
I know.
In
my sexuality. I know. Maybe I should go one of those conversion camps.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Mm.
I mean, if you just like swing it slightly the other way, that would be good.
Well, exactly. Even if you could add sort of a 10% into your sexuality. Because
exactly.
Really, I don't like to think
it's
of
spectrum.
You as... Yes, exactly. Because
yeah.
It's just not fair that someone should have to live their life in such a boring... Sorry.
No, it's true.
I don't mean
it's
your whole life.
Hey.
I just mean that one element.
I know. It's true. And...
Yeah.
I don't want to be...
No, I know you're getting upset now.
I don't want to be defined. Right. I don't want to be defined solely by my sexuality, obviously. But
although
it's a bind.
It would be nice.
It's a bind, though. It's just makes life really difficult because it's not a choice.
Well, that's right. Choice. Especially when you work in the arts and you do, you know, like
exactly.
People have expectations of you and
exactly. And here's me. I might as well just sort of. Get to married and get a mortgage then.
Yeah, you might.
And, you know, have a bt@btinternet.com email address.
Oh, God, that is making me literally feel sick.
I know.
The thought, you might as well just stay at home and make macaroni cheese for the rest of your life and talk about fridges.
Oh, and then sort of refrigerate our leftovers and heat them up the next day.
Oh, God. I can't bear it, Ruth. I can't bear the thought.
Let's think about something
of you
else.
Living like that, and you don't have to, and we will sort that out. Okay. So, okay. There's a lot of men in this film, I know.
That's great, thinking, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Lots of white American men, which are the best sort. So that lots and lots of them to choose from. So,
yeah.
Excellent news.
Great. And Anna Paquin, who I believe was in the film about the piano.
Oh, yeah. What was that called?
I don't know, but it was sort of about a piano, and it was sort of... Hey, the piano was quite a central...
I can't remember what it was called.
I'll Google it later, but she was quite good, I think.
Yeah,
she was young.
She was really young, and there was this piano.
And there was, like, her mum who had some sexual encounters surrounding the piano.
And it was on a beach or something.
Yeah, there was a beach because the piano went into the sea. And
the piano went into the sea on this beach.
And there was a sort of soundtrack of piano music.
Sure. I can't remember for the life of me what it's called, but you can look it up anyway.
Yeah,
same. Just put in piano film, and it'll come
something
up.
Something will come up.
Something will come up.
All in all, we've talked about the packaging, the imagery, and the cast. So the cast is sort of a mixed bag, but it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I wouldn't kick the cast out of bed for getting, rice crackers on my sheets.
No way. So there's not much else to talk about, is there? We've sort of covered almost everything you could for a film.
Yeah, I'd say, in terms of the things you want from a film, in terms of action, there's probably some action.
Yeah, I'm certain that some people walk around in it.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure talking is probably quite a big feature.
So, it's been written.
That's so true. It's been written, so there's going to be some dialogue, and that'll probably be okay.
There'll be people talking and then other people talking back to them.
Yeah, and in between that, they'll be moving around a bit.
Yeah, and I imagine, I can't... Now, don't take my word for this, listeners, but I imagine there'll be special effects.
I think judging by the sort of blue hue on the front, blue tintedness, I'd say, probably will be. So if you like that sort of weird... special effect-y type
computers-y
of film.
Thing.
Yeah, then,
then this is the thing for you, I guess.
Yeah, and, finally, if you like a bit of sort of, sexual titillation, there's some women in it, and they look like...
They probably take their top off at some point.
I would have thought so.
It's a blockbuster, so I guess.
And, they look attractive.
They look nice. They're nice to look at.
Yeah.
When the men are doing the talking and the plot's happening and things, they're also on the screen
being there. Yeah. So, if you're after a film that, has some action, has some talking by some men and some women being there, then this is ideal
for
you.
This is absolutely the film for you.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm Jungian Kirsty, and you're listening to Desert Island Death Discs, where we ask a whole host of wholesome and less wholesome women and men to select one or several tracks that they hate so much that they would choose to live on a desert island to avoid hearing it or them ever again. Today, we hear from two remarkable women who live in a lighthouse together, saving and bringing joy to whomever they choose to shine their light on. You know them as the Divas. I know them personally as Larner and Betty, and these are their Desert Island Death Discs.
Well, what song do we hate the most?
Oh, the song I hate the most is Imagine.
Imagine
there's no heaven. It's easy if you try, they say. Well, I've tried. It's not easy. Not easy at all.
I'm trying. I'm imagining. I can't unimagine something that's been imagined if it is imaginary.
Exactly. I mean, it's like saying, imagine there isn't an elephant. What's the thing you first imagine?
Well, I'm just thinking of an elephant.
Exactly.
Imagine that you didn't imagine. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Well, I don't think he's using his imagination properly.
What else does it say in the song?
Imagine there's no people. Well, that would be useless.
Well, I can. I'm a person.
Exactly. And who'd buy your records if there were no people?
Well, that's false advertising, if you ask me.
Imagine there's no hell below us.
Do I mean false advertising, or do I mean... What's that thing that they do in the war?
In the war, propaganda.
Propaganda, it's propaganda.
Propaganda, that's what it is.
What else? What other lyrics can you imagine?
Imagine there's no possessions. Well, what a stupid life that would
be. What an awful a life without palazzo pants,
without
I can't imagine.
A string of pearls and a nice tiara. Well,
without a cocktail glass to chink together.
Oh, without a...
An award! Imagine not having an award!
Well, that would be terrible! If I had no possessions, I wouldn't have a shelf, and then where would I keep all of my awards?
Exactly!
Well, I think John Lennon's ridiculous.
What an awful man!
A terrible person. What other songs don't you like?
Apart from Happy Birthday, I hate that one.
Do you hate Happy Birthday?
Who needs that reminder every year? Can you sing something different?
Oh, come on, be imaginative. Not that John Lennon would let you.
Imagine there's another song you could sing.
Well, just imagine that.
What's that song about the seaside you hate so much?
Oh, Somewhere Beyond the Sea. What's beyond the sea? Nothing.
Space? Is that beyond the sea?
I suppose so. But that's where his love's waiting for him. He'll never get up there, I tell you, never.
Oh, what an awful man and what an awful song.
A terrible song. What about the one you don't like?
I don't like that song that goes on about you're beautiful.
Oh, you're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
If you were beautiful, would you be listening to that song telling
no.
you were beautiful?
You wouldn't, because you'd know you were beautiful.
Only sad, ugly people listen to that song.
What, you can't be beautiful when you're sad?
No, and people play that to their most ugliest of friends.
Exactly.
And then you know, if that song has been played to you, you know...
You are ugly.
Do you use Twitter yourself?
I do use Twitter, and if you want to go to it, it's twitter.com/ Barry from What. Barry from What, W-A-T. And you can hear all sorts of hilarious musings.
That's
on that, you see.
That's impressive.
It's impressive.
Does someone help you, or do you just do it yourself?
I'm not a complete idiot, no. I can manage to do it myself.
Well, not everyone is au fait with social media, but
no,
clearly
but
you
when
are.
You are, a media spokesman, social commentator,
yeah.
Like me, I think it's important to get my message out there.
Yes.
And what would my message be, is your next
question?
Yeah,
absolutely.
My message would be, love one another, don't fight, but above all, always put the milk in before you add the water and the tea bag.
That's absolutely beautiful. Lovely sentiment there.
That's lovely. It's not a metaphor for anything else other than making a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, straightforward.
It's straightforward.
As you always are, principled, straightforward, matter
principled,
of fact.
Principled, straightforward. And very, very sexy.
And on that note, thank you so much, Barry.
Thank you.
For inviting me round.
Lots of love to you, Dad. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
And now on Radio 4, it's the 6 o'clock news. Remember phone hacking? That was bad, wasn't it? Yes, yes it was. Luckily, here at Back Row, we're lacking a moral compass. That's because we all went to state schools, isn't it? Hey, Richard Walden. So, when we were handed a tape of a certain celebrity's answer phone, we said, yes please, thanks very much. And here it is, a Back Row exclusive.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, Mr. Wonka? It's Arthur here. If you could give me a call back as and when you get this message, I'd be most grateful. I know you're a busy man, but this is an important business. I'm calling about yesterday's health and safety check, and I'm afraid I do need to flag a few concerns. I'll read a couple from the report to you. It is the opinion of the inspector that glass is an unsuitable material for an elevator. Steel would be preferable for the moving parts, and if the management is still keen on the elevator being transparent, they may look into clay nano sheets and a water-soluble polymer. Currently, the glass is not reinforced and represents a severe hazard in the event of a malfunction. We're going to have to take quite a hard line with this, Mr. Wonka, because I can't help noticing that all the improvements we mentioned 6 months ago have not yet been actioned. You need safety barriers around the golden egg chutes. It's a 50-foot drop. Accident waiting to happen. Now, this this TV machine. That will need a 24-hour shutdown before any visitors are shown round. We're reading unacceptably high levels of radiation, which could be grounds for a lawsuit should any effects arise after they've left. We advise you to look into lead seals for all the doors. Ideally, I'd shut the whole thing down, but I know from past experience that's very unlikely. Right. Please stop inviting people to lick the walls. I would have thought this was obvious. I mean, herpes, hepatitis, you name it. You're a bright man, Mr. Wonker. I'm surprised I have to go over this. Now, you have a chocolate lake, Mr. Wonker. I hardly need to go into all the things that are wrong with that. Management recommends safety barriers and a coated tarpaulin so that the chocolate isn't contaminated by organic matter. This is a matter of some urgency, Mr. Wonker, so if you could give me a call back. Next up is your staff. Great that you're offering work to differently abled people, but have they filled in the diversity forms? Because I can't help noticing a certain uniformity when it comes to their race, which could be a problem later down the line. So get that looked into, please. Also, no women. Could become an issue. It's basically you, the Freemasons, and the Church of England now. You have to have some women on your staff. They're letting them command submarines these days. I don't understand it myself either, but they're everywhere. So get it seen to, please. Anyway, if you could give me a call back and we can work with you to address these concerns. They do all need to be looked at before this golden ticket tour next week, okay? Call me back. See you later.
This episode of Back Row featured Susan Harrison, Gemma Arrowsmith, Barry from Watford and Trod on Brat. You can follow me on Twitter at SueHarrison123, and if you'd like to listen to any more Back Row, you can subscribe to us for free on the iTunes podcast app. Thanks, bye!